I know that time is already getting late, and we're 15, 20 minutes till your normal exit time, and I'm not going to guarantee I'm going to get you out on time. We might. So, please, if you have something that has to, where you have to be out the door at 12, be late. Okay, let's turn to our Bibles, to Hebrews chapter 11. Starting with verse 17. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had received the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, "It is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned." Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead, and figuratively speaking, he didn't receive Isaac back from the dead. By faith, Isaac received Jacob and Esau in regard to their future. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of Joseph's sons and worshipped as he leaned on the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when his end was near, spoke about the exodus of the Israelites from Egypt and gave instructions about his bones. By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he had been born, because they saw he was no ordinary child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land, but when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after the people had marched around them for 7 days. By faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. And what more shall I say? I do not have the time to tell you about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Japheth. Yeah, that's right. David, Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. Others were tortured and refused to be released so that they might gain a better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging, while still others were chained and put in prison. They were stoned. They were sawed in two. They were put to death by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in caves and holes in the ground. These were all commended for their faith. Yet none of them received what had been promised. God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us could they be made perfect. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word, and we come before you this morning. We give you praise that we only need to seek you, and you will give us guidance and instruction. Lord, we do now seek you. We ask that you'd send your Holy Spirit to illuminate these scriptures for us, to give us understanding of them and show us how to apply them to our lives today. Lord, might your word indeed be the living word. Might it live in our lives. Lord, I pray that as I preach this morning, you would give me the words to say that would touch each person here. Lord, that each person would be encouraged and blessed, that none would go away from your table hungry. Lord, I pray that it would be your name which is lifted up and glorified. I pray that nothing I say would in any way ever come against you or your word. And Lord, where I do make those mistakes, I pray it as if it was never spoken. Now, Lord, we lift you up. We praise you. Instruct us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. I titled this really imaginatively By Faith Part 2. So I'm kind of going with a Hollywood theme because, you know, they can never come up with a new idea, so they always make Part 2, Die Hard 2, you know, Die Hard 3, Die Hard 28, etc. So we're in By Faith, and it's real easy to pick out why I called the first part By Faith. You know, phrase after phrase we have here, By Faith, By Faith. And these actions that these saints of the Old Testament performed, the lives that they lived, the things that they did, were all done by faith. Faith was a busy gal. Faith is a gift of God and was given to each as they asked in need. And we read this and we see some of them didn't get out. Some were sawn in half. I don't know about you, but that just creeps me out. Okay? A lot of forms of death don't bother me. Okay, I'm strange, I'm weird, I know. But you talk about taking a saw. Remember, it's not going to be a sharp thing like we have, you know, nice, you know, power saw that, you know, cuts somebody's hand off or something. They don't even feel it because it's so sharp and it happens so fast in our power tools today. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about something that's made out of bronze and probably about yay big. It's got big honking teeth on the thing and not very sharp. And it's not powered by electricity. It's powered by two guys, one on each end going... That picture's not very... You know, I see a couple going, yeah. Pastor, can you leave off on the graphic illustrations? I'm sorry. This is what our Lord had the Holy Spirit inspire the writer of Hebrews to put here. And he put it here for a reason. By faith, these people went through these things. What's on the other end of being cut in half? It's not being put back together again. It's being with the Lord. Let's jump to the end of this passage and see what the passage says here. It says, these were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. Okay, they had faith that what God promised they were going to get. But it says here that not one of them received it. Now, Scripture also tells us that God is good, that He never reneges on His Word, that He's truthful, that He always tells the truth. and that God's promises can be counted upon. God promises this is what's going to happen, that's what's going to happen. How do we reconcile that with this? It says, these people never got it. Well, that's simple. These people never got it this side of heaven. And the promise was for what's going to happen when the kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of God was not at hand previously. Kingdom of God at hand? Anybody have a name they want to throw out? Where's Margie when I need her? Gloria, you know it. The kingdom of God. Do we have a name? The kingdom of God at hand. Heaven. What else? Jesus. For the kingdom of God is at hand, Jesus is telling the disciples. Who is he talking about? He's talking about himself. And what's been the book of Hebrews has been talking about? How Jesus is the fulfillment of the law. How Jesus is the fulfillment of the promise. That's what the previous 10.5 chapters are talking about. I know it's unfair to talk about old material that we've already covered. We're only supposed to talk about the new stuff for today. No. The Bible is a whole. It's one message. It's God's message to us. And what we're to have faith in is God's promise. And we're told that Jesus is the fulfillment of that promise. And none of these people that died previously, they got that fulfillment. Why? Because Jesus hadn't been there yet. Jesus was pre-incarnate. He was there before there was anything. He was part of creation. It was through Him all was created. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was... Why do I always want to mess that up when I try to blab it out like that? I just don't. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Later, it says, the Word became flesh, and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only, the one who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. That's Jesus. Last week I talked about how by faith I was able to wear a shirt or take a shirt that was expensive and stain it and the stain remover take it out. I was able to do that without any qualms because I knew the stain remover would take that grape juice out of that shirt, and I wore the shirt the next day, week to show, hey, look, we need to live our lives that we have the stain remover of Christ in our life. That, hey, look, by faith, we're living for the promise. And the promise is that we are forgiven, that we will spend all of eternity with God in heaven, that we are no longer citizens of this kingdom. Yes, I do hold citizenship in the United States. But that's not where my real citizenship is. My real citizenship is in heaven. My real family is the family of God. Everybody who has received Jesus as Lord and Savior, I can go brother, sister. Sometimes we feel it's kind of hokey. Some of us who grew up in other traditions, when we run across some of the traditions that practice that terminology. Brother, sister so-and-so, and brother so-and-so, and you're like, huh? I mean, I grew up kind of in the Lutheran church, and people didn't do that. That was very strange first couple times I But yet, I like the picture. I like the sense that it gives me. When somebody doesn't say, "Hey, stranger Bruce." Instead, they say, "Hey, brother Bruce." Oh, I'm family. We may not know each other yet, but we're related. Anybody got family that they don't know? I got a ton of them. Not real good about going to family reunions. Well, here we are. We're told to live by faith. We're given the example of how the saints before us did it. See, God had planned something better for us so that only together with us would they be made perfect. Let's talk about that for just a moment. Is the writer there saying that it's only through you and I that Jacob, Abraham, Isaac, that they could be made perfect?
No.
It's not saying that you and I are doing that. What the writer is talking about here, it's only through what we've experienced now and through us coming together in the body of Christ. But the whole body of Christ, those whom God has selected, to be part of the body of Christ. Once that whole body comes together, can we be whole? Can you be whole if you're missing an arm? No, you cannot. The body of Christ cannot be whole if part of it's not there. And it's now only through the coming of Christ, through now the ability to take the gospel to the Gentiles, to the nations, that all can now be saved. The promise to Abraham was that all nations would be blessed through his seed. That his house would be known, house of God would be known as a house of prayer. That it would be there for all people. House of prayer for all nations. Not just for Israel. Though Israel would be the vehicle through which the blessing came. God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. That perfection is the unity of the body of Christ, the bride of Christ, to come at the last day of resurrection and judgment. To come then. That's what we're going towards. When the enemy will once again be bound and cast into the sea of fire. And the bride of Christ, which is the church, it's you and I, all who've received Jesus as Lord and Savior, no matter what denomination, all who receive Jesus as Lord and Savior will be together under His headship, His lordship. That's the promise. That was always the promise, that I will bring you back. I will be your God and you will be my people. Even yet today, the promise is forward. We need to live just as the saints in the past did, by faith. But yet, more of the promise has been revealed. More of the promise has been given now than ever was previously. And we're much closer. How close? I don't know. It doesn't say in here. I looked. But it does say soon. And certainly sooner today than it was yesterday. And as we find with the collapse of the I-35W bridge, none of us know when we're going. Or how. How many here would have predicted that that bridge was going to... Of all the bridges in town, that's not one I would have predicted is going to go down. People die in their sleep. They're falling off bridges. But most of them don't know when they're going to die. Or how. But each one of us needs to be ready. So when it does happen, we can hear the words, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Come into your rest." We want to be welcomed into the kingdom of God, not be gone, "I never knew you." That's all by faith. Faith in what? The work Jesus did on the cross, which we celebrate with communion. The bread and the cup. His broken body, His shed blood. That's what our faith is in. That Jesus' sacrifice is all that's necessary. I don't have to fix myself up to get right with God. God will fix me once I turn myself over to His control. I need to receive Lord Jesus as my Lord. Please recognize, Lord, that means He's the one in charge. He's not there in advisory capacity. He's there to tell me what to do, day in, day out, 24/7. He's my Savior. That is, He's the one that did all the work. I didn't do it. I just need to receive it, believe it. Have faith in it, in Him. The article of my faith needs to be Jesus Christ and nothing else. The article of your faith needs to be Jesus the Christ, the Messiah. Let's pray. Father, we thank You that You've shown us unequivocally how You indeed are a loving, caring God by giving Your Son, Jesus, to be our sacrifice, to be the good news, to be that one thing, that one whom we can have faith in, and knowing that it's enough. That You will hold us in the palm of Your hand, and that none can snatch us out. Lord, we thank You for Your blessings. We thank You for the blessing of Your Son, Jesus. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.